This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِّمَّنْ دَعَا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. We have with us today our dear brother Sheikh Salman here in the studio with us in Qatar, mashallah. Salman is from Japan, and we just finished working together with Aira here during the World Cup, giving da'wah, alhamdulillah. And he's on his way to the airport now, mashallah. But I said before he goes to the airport, we have to share some of our da'wah experiences. And it's one of the things that we benefited, our time being here in Qatar together, was benefiting from other people's experiences and what they have to offer. And one of the things that I noticed when we talked about Japan, and what many people don't realize, is that when giving da'wah to Japanese people, there's a different style, different approach we have to use. And we're going to come to that, inshallah ta'ala. I'm sure a lot of people have questions as well, how you became Muslim. And that's usually how we start, you know, asking that question. But inshallah, if we have time, we'll come to that at the end, inshallah ta'ala. Because the more important thing now is how to give da'wah and what is the situation of da'wah then in Japan, inshallah. So before we start, your name in Japanese. I don't want to get it wrong. If you could tell us, how do you pronounce your name in Japanese?
Okay, Japanese pronunciation, Sugimoto Kyoichiro.
Okay.
So the family name first, and then given name last.
Oh,
first
that's last.
Yeah, absolutely. That is the order.
Very good.
So Sugimoto. So
everyone in Japan, it's always going to be family name first?
Yeah, right.
Okay, and then last. Okay, exactly, interesting, interesting.
So you can call me Sugimoto, it's fine.
Sugimoto, I'll call you Salman, it's much
easier. Salman is fine, yeah, it's
much,
the same name.
It's much easier, alhamdulillah, for all of us. Jazakallah khair. Could you tell us a little about Islam in Japan, you know, a brief history, and what's the situation of Islam there now?
Okay, so let me start a general demographic feature. It's about 124 million people now in Japan, out of which only 200,000 are Muslims. 90% of them are immigrants, so only 10% of them are so-called local Japanese. And most of them are converts.
Most of them are the immigrants. Where are they coming from? A particular country or all around?
Particularly from Indonesia. They are almost 30%. And the Pakistan and the Bangladesh, they're probably 10% each.
Okay, interesting.
Okay, so the percentage of the Muslim population is only 0.16%. So it's a super minority and so invisible. If you travel just normally, without intention to visiting masjid or meeting Muslim, probably you will not meet any single Muslim there. Yeah, so that is the situation in terms of population. Then how Islam was started, the first Muslim, it is historically speaking, which is recorded, it was 1891. Okay, when the Turkish, the missions, they came to Japan with big ship, about 700, 800 Turkish people came to see Meiji Emperor. And but they, on the return, they have some troubles because of typhoon hit the ship. And then most of them died. That's however, right. Some survival, and then Japanese people, they try to help these survivals. And they collect donations, a lot of donations, and to give them to the bereaved family in Turkey. So one journalist was on the ship and gave this donation to the emperor at that time is the Ottoman Empire, Abdul Hamid II. And then there he stayed for a long time, and he became a teacher, a Japanese language teacher for the Turkish military. Then, you know, interesting enough, this the UK, the from British, there's Abdul Aquarium. Yes, I remember. Quilliam, he was a dyer, and he like dawah to this Japanese non-Muslim, and he became Muslim.
Interesting.
So that was the first Muslim I remember.
Mashallah.
In Hisuka record. But that is only we can say dots. This only some the dots only. So as a community wise, most probably 1980s, when the Japan economically saw growth. And so many foreign workers, the immigrants came to Japan. That was probably a more mass Muslim immigration. So it means Japan, I mean the Muslim history in Japan is just a matter of only 40 years.
MashaAllah. Yeah. Interesting. And how's the Dawah there now? What is the Dawah scene?
Well, because of so-called, you know, halal industry, that came from Malaysia, from Indonesia, mm-hmm. it's really influenced the government as well as business sector. So more and more people, they are accepting the Muslim visitors as well as Muslim business. Mm-hmm. So it started in 2010. So like last 10 years or 12 years, we have more interaction with Muslims and the more, let's say, inter-religious marriage, or you can say mm-hmm. international marriage, mm-hmm. are taking place.
So usually when a sister accepts Islam, you
Yeah. So that's why the Islam now gradually spreading. So now we are receiving more second generation now.
Okay. Yeah. And the most people who accept Islam, is it, you know, men and women or mostly women or?
Yeah. 70-80% of women.
Women, well,
yeah.
That's interesting because most places around the world, that's the case. Anyway,
right. With the Muslims, they study very hard.
Hey,
Subhanallah. Yeah, seriously.
That's true. Yeah. Okay, I want to ask a question now about how to give da'wah to Japanese people.
Okay.
Because what I found is I sat with some brothers who are specialized in e-da'wah. And there's obviously a big a hope, you know, to give da'wah in Japan. And there's been a lot of focus in the e-da'wah, but they found the ROI, the return on investment that they're investing for the people to reach, it's very bad in Japan. Not many people actually accept. So even many of the organizations stop giving da'wah online because of that. Mm-hmm. But when I first sat with you for the first time and you started to explain some different things, I understood, you know, that the way we give da'wah in the West doesn't work in Japan.
Yeah.
So what is the best way, the keys to Japanese people giving da'wah?
So lots of things to be mentioned here. So first of all, Japan has so much strong social conformity. So a very homogeneous society. So 98% they are so-called Japanese, right? Only 2% they're immigrants. So the sameness is so important for them. So, you know, to become Muslim is to be different, right?
Different, okay. Yeah,
yeah, socially, culturally, become alienated. So this is, I mean, very hard for the most Japanese people. To become different.
I remember I was sitting with some police. We had a program with the police in Ireland, and it was interesting. They were joking with me because even though I was born in America, I'm McCarthy. I'm, you know, very as average as you can get when it comes to my tribe. And they said, "Now you're back in your homeland, but you're actually you've become a migrant as well because you're a minority because you're Muslim. You know? So you're actually joined the minorities, even though you're from one of the major tribes of Ireland, subhanAllah." So I understand that well.
So that is the one factor. So that's why we need to start gradually and establish a brotherhood or sisterhood. First, build up the trust and the human relationship before we really talk about the Islam in detail. Because people first and foremost have to have, you know, family and community, rather than just only having a faith. This faith cannot be sustained alone. So that's why Japanese people, when it comes to religion, so they imagine like affiliation to certain group, right? So this, in the case of Islam, is a Muslim community. So they will see how the Muslim community is growing and how they are, you know, the cohesive and the strong, because it will protect them from their alienation from their main society. So that is the thing. That's why the argumentation is not really welcome. So it's more friendship. Casual, more cultural approach is really welcome. The first step.
Very excellent.
So that is the first approach.
So anything else you want to add to that about that?
Add to that, okay. So when it comes to like a da'wah, people see that the achievement of da'wah is always shahada, right? Well, but in the case of Japanese society, shahada is something so big step because it contains commitment. So to become Muslim is so hard at a very starting point. So we are focusing on not shahada, but rather we focus more on iman. Iman, and especially first pillar of iman, is a belief in Allah, especially tawhid part. So to understand, to accept the existence of God, and this God is only one. So this is the most important for the Japanese people to understand first, to accept. And from this perspective, it is not difficult for them to just accept because it's only the matter of the faith. Only internally they change, only their worldview, their perspective will be changed. So maybe from outwardly there is no change, so there is no so much social alienation or culture alienation. That's only belief change, right? Okay. But that is big thing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah, because they are avoiding shirk. And the only shirk is matter actually. It's a major top sin, right? Yeah. So and I remember one hadith that in Sahih hadith in the Muslim, it says that مَنْ مَاتَ هُوَ يَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. So those who understand, those who know this shahada, the لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ, there are no worthy of worship but Allah, and they died into paradise, right? So that's why understanding this existence of God and oneness of God is so really matters.
That's the foundation. It's very interesting you mentioned this, because it reminds me of the people of Mecca. Obviously, they had a very strong understanding of what La ilaha illallah meant. That's why they refused to accept it. And the Japanese people, they said, you know, they understand it as a commitment. If they're going to make that change, it's not just something they're going to say, but it's something that has a commitment and an attachment. So that's very interesting.
The integrity is there, always. Michelle. Because they know what does it mean to understand, to accept it. Of course, their prayers and the fasting, right? Yeah. And the avoiding porks and then these alcoholic beverages. They already understand. It's so famous, right? Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. Very good. So these are the main things, or anything else when it comes to giving da'wah to Japanese? Any tips or tools?
Well, okay, let's come to like understanding of the Quran. Okay, all hidayah is coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I believe. So whatever I speak is actually nothing in front of Allah, actually nothing. So why not let the Quran speak?
Excellent.
In front of the Japanese people. That's why I work for Japanese translation of the Quran. Because I myself, when I embraced Islam, I went through thoroughly the translation, Japanese translation of the Quran, the entire Quran. So I read again and again. So that's why maybe probably other Japanese people also maybe go through the similar process.
MashaAllah. And that's actually, it's one of the da'wah tools that we've left.
Yes.
I'm a member of Sahaba Academy in Istanbul, and we have a yearly conference there. And what we focused on this year was, you know, to revive the wahi, meaning the Quran and Sunnah, and giving da'wah. Because one of the things that we've left is that we don't focus on using the Quran as one of the tools of da'wah.
Yeah.
Even though even just hearing, and I remember even seeing a famous Japanese reporter with Sheikh Al-Arifi. And so it's on YouTube, you can see it. He just listened to the Quran, and he listened to Arabic, like recited from the Sheikh, and he talked in Arabic. You saw this maybe?
I know.
Yeah, he did normal Arabic, and then he did the recitation, like, you know, Muhammad, Dhahab al-Suq, wa ishtara
khumsa wa lahman.
He just said something like a normal Arabic sentence, but reading like Quran. Then he read the Quran, and he immediately knew the Japanese reporter, even though he never heard a word of Arabic, he knew right away. So that's the power of the Quran. Even I found, subhanAllah, in the Islamic exhibitions that we have in Ireland and the UK, that one of the main things that people put in the feedback forms is how they felt when they heard the Quran, the Quran booth, and the recitation of the Quran. So that shows us, you know, listening, reading, as you said, the translation, and this help. Even for myself, when I first became Muslim, what really kept me firm was reading. I didn't understand Arabic then. I was reading through the English translation, but yet that was what helped keep me firm, alhamdulillah. What would you think would be the main things we need to stay away from when it comes to giving da'wah to the Japanese? Now, we know some of the main things to focus on. You mentioned argumentation as one of the things. So it's important to know what to focus on and what to stay away from.
All right. So there must be a step on da'wah. So first, we'll not talk about the Sharia part. About the porks and alcohol. The prohibition, as well as some the details, the rules and regulations about the clothing and the women, the relation between the men and women, for example, some details. So these are all the branches, I believe. So these are later. We will not put them some difficult conditions at the beginning. So always go to the Tawheed, most foundational information or knowledge.
Excellent.
Yeah, that is something.
And interesting enough, you're saying that because in the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, that she mentioned the Prophet ﷺ, he said that, you know, if it came down in the beginning to your people in Mecca to leave, you know, alcohol, to leave fornication, leave these things, they would have never left it.
Yes,
so then even for them, when they accepted Islam, it had to be gradually. So that's important for us as dua to take the same principles, the same teachings, in order to teach the people, you know, gradually, and these type of things that we know are going to make them run away.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's important to understand. Oh, these type of things for Japanese people, these type of things for people from Brazil or from Mexico, this is going to push them away. So we don't focus on these things. And then once a person comes to Islam, eventually you'll find that once the iman is strong enough, they'll be able, inshallah ta'ala, to leave it themselves. And they get in that environment and they start to learn, I need to leave this, and they'll leave it, inshallah ta'ala. Very good. You mentioned the issue of the translation of the Qur'an. And I know, alhamdulillah, that you're the one, you translate now the Qur'an in Japanese. If you could tell us about your experience and how that came about, and the translation you have done of the Qur'an.
Okay, so as I mentioned, the Qur'an, even the translation, it has power. Even myself, I just read the Qur'an, the translation, it tells me a lot. So the first, before starting the da'wah, the full-time da'wah, I was always thinking, planning, I have to translate this entire Qur'an from very fresh perspective, which means a more easy Japanese, not archaic, not traditional Japanese language. So that's why I have always have this planning. So then I...
The original translation was in the classic Japanese?
Yeah, it was like 1950s translation.
Similar to what we had in English.
Yes.
Then you had the old version, Yusuf Ali and this, which no one could really understand. And then we have the more modern version.
Similar, yeah. So that's why I'm looking for one Arabic expert, a Muslim. So I found. So two of us, we started this planning. And alhamdulillah, within 2 years, we completed. Every day we have to spend 4 hours. That is a commitment. 4 hours every day. So alhamdulillah, after 2 years, we completed, we published. It's very highly quality paper, like a dictionary type of paper.
Excellent.
And then very nice hardcover style. Alhamdulillah.
I think that's one of the things that I've learned from you. And this is something, mashallah, that we always benefit from one another as du'a when we come together. Even someone who has, you can find some of our elders who have maybe more experience sometimes, but that doesn't mean you can't benefit from someone else. We benefit from all of each other all of the time. It's important. And I remember Imam al-Bukhari, he said something very amazing to Imam al-Tirmidhi. Imam al-Tirmidhi was his student. And he said to him, he said, I've learned more than you've learned from me. And he said, Imam al-Tirmidhi was shocked. He said, how is that? He said, because all of the questions you ask, So always I tell the brothers, that we need to, I always look at myself as a student. So I'm always constantly learning. When I find something, I take it. So the issue you said right now, commitment, 4 hours a day. And that's a great lesson for the brothers and sisters who are watching with us, is to focus on committing. When you commit to something, 4 hours a day, and then it gets done.
Yeah.
But if you were just to give it something, a couple hours here, a couple hours there, you would probably be 10 years down the line and you still wouldn't have completed it. So that commitment. And another benefit that I benefited, and go back to what you mentioned earlier about, it's not about the shahada, focus on the shahada. And even we focus in our dawah courses, we talk about, using GoRap and what have you. Obviously, we want the shahada, but the other objective is planting the seeds.
Yep.
And you plant the seeds, maybe you'll get the fruits later. And you mentioned, that you had much of the, during the World Cup and the mosque visits, 216 quality conversations.
Yeah.
Alhamdulillah. So if you could explain that a bit to us, the quality conversations.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So generally speaking, it is very hard to invite Japanese non-Muslim to any cultural, even cultural event.
Okay.
When it comes to like Islamic talk and the public talk, they're not interested and they are so busy. So that's why for my last 4 years trial, even 1 month I have 1, 2, 3 culture events, but probably I can call maybe only 30, 40 people max. But this time only 23 days I spent here. So more than 200 people appeared, right? So that is a really amazing number. And then I can spend time, more quality conversation with this number of people. So this is really amazing. Alhamdulillah.
Really. Do you think that this could be a tool that we could use in Japan? I don't know. I haven't seen. I'm going to visit soon, inshallah. But for example, some of the mosque tours or something. You think maybe that could be?
Yes. There is a potential masjid we call Tokyo Jami. It's one of the central masjid in Tokyo. Already they are receiving a lot of tourists.
Excellent.
And the students to visit. However, when it comes to tour, there is only one Japanese they are handling, and then he is not so much trained in terms of Gorap, let's say, not really focusing, but he is more explaining the history of the mosque only. Okay. So that's why maybe we need some kind of reform. And if you want to try other masjid, the problem is that their masjid is just reform of the building.
Yeah.
It's not really attractive for the general Japanese people.
So we need something attractive and we need someone who's trained.
Yeah, exactly.
Because we saw the results here in Qatar when you're here, mashallah. the beautiful mosque in Qatara. They came to visit the mosque. Which was very, very beautiful. One of the stories the other night that you told us, which had a big impact on us and our gathering, was the story of your da'wah for your mother and your father.
Oh, yes.
If you could tell us a bit about that and how that was.
Right. So, it's famous hadith says that our Jannah, our paradise is underneath of the foot of the mother, right? So, our priority is first on the mother and, of course, our father too. So, always, this all I think the reverts, they have wish, very strong wish. Their parents become Muslim one day. Although it's very hard because we know each other so detailed. So there is strong rejection also. I mean, So that's why it's similarly, I also faced a very strong rejection from the beginning. I could say that almost 20 years. I tried for 20 years. Just briefly speaking, just, you know, I try to speak basics of Islam, try to explain them, but always, you know, get a negative reaction. Especially my father got angry many times. So it really prevents me from doing, you know, again and again. So, but I always, after prayer, you know, I make dua. So what to do? So just I got idea that first we have to rebuild, normalize the relationship. So I try to give some the gifts for my father, what he likes. So that is the coffee. He loves coffee.
Mashallah.
And then some
Japanese
nuts.
People drink a lot of coffee as well.
Yeah.
The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Tahadu tahabu." If you give gifts, and it creates love amongst you.
Yeah, exactly.
So coffee and nuts.
So I continue. Like every month, I start giving.
Excellent.
One day he just, you know, opened his the heart, and just inviting us, including my wife. To visit his,
your wife is also down. From Japan or?
From Indonesia.
Indonesia, okay.
Indonesia, yeah. So we visited during holiday. Then the beginning is quite hard to, of course, talk about Islam from the very beginning. So almost I spend more 4-5 hours before starting about Islam. So what I try to focus their problem. Probably my parents have already reached to 75 years old. So they have some concerns and worries. So I try to understand from their conversation what their main concern. So they have two main concerns about the house. Generally in Japan, the first son have to take care of the house, have to succeed for next generation. So I'm as a first son, so I'm responsible to take care of the house. But while now I'm living far away from my parents because of my job, so they're concerned. So who will take over this house? So I said, I will take away, don't worry. So first worry removed. The second worry is about their physical condition or mental condition. Still they're okay, you know, physically, mentally okay. But we don't know what will happen. So after they are like, you know, become very forgettable, physically weak, then who will take care of them? So we said, it's okay, we can take care of you. So the second worry is also removed.
Alhamdulillah.
So after that, my father just asked me one question, why do we have beer? You know? So I said, in order to understand your question well, so you need to understand the basics of Islam.
Excellent.
So do you have 10 minutes?
Excellent.
So I started Gora.
Gora, excellent. It's very important for the viewers as well to understand as well that we talk about Gora. And it works. It has been proven. It's a proven method.
However, I try to customize in Japanese version.
For Japanese.
Especially in terms of oneness.
Excellent.
Oneness part is I customize especially for Japanese. So anyway, after 10 minutes, my father asked me, then what do you want? He asked me, what do you want? So, you know, my wife and myself, this is something...
We
didn't expect so.
Allahu Akbar.
So immediately my wife said that, okay, we need shahada.
Allahu Akbar, mashallah.
You know, you testify, there are no worthy of, none worthy of worship but Allah, and the Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his messenger. So they repeated again and again.
Alhamdulillah, excellent.
Of course, they understand meaning because I already explained in 10 minutes. So alhamdulillah. So we make sujood shukr. Like this Moroccan players.
Very good. Excellent, mashallah. Congratulations, mashallah. It's very good. Okay, now the question I think everyone wants to know as well briefly, how you revert to Islam.
Okay.
Your story.
Okay. So when I was 20 years old, when I was a university student, I met a Muslim student in my department from Bangladesh. Mm. Yeah. My major was culture anthropology. I study different culture. I'm interested in different culture. Mm. And he's from Bangladesh. And we came across, like, became friendship because English language, actually.
Yeah,
he only speak English, and then he wants to learn Japanese from me. Mm-hmm. Then I also want to practice English, so we made friendship. Then one day he invited me to his hometown in Bangladesh. Yeah. Mm. So in summer vacation, I spent 1 week and visited. But, you know, I faced so much culture shock there. So much culture shock.
Yeah, big difference.
Huh? Yeah, big difference. It was 1996. Mm. Still, Bangladesh was so under development. Mm. And when I arrived at the airport, there's so many poor people, the beggars, they surrounded me, like more than 50. Like, so what is this? I've never encountered this kind of situation. Then the street, you know, street children are sleeping on the street, on the road. Mm. So what is this? You know? So I was thinking that.
I can imagine, you know, being from a place like Japan.
Yeah, you know.
Was this your first time outside of Japan?
Yes, it was first my trip overseas. Wow. That was Bangladesh. So what happens? So just I thought, they are just simply born in Bangladesh. They are that condition. I was just simply born in Japan. Maybe in education and then maybe the health are secured. Mm. So what is this? Because they have no rights, they have no decision to make where they should be born, right? Mm. So from the very birth, there's huge difference around the world.
Yeah.
Some people simply because, you know, born in some poor family, they are poor.
Yeah.
Some people are born in the very rich family, they are rich, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So I think we are just thinking about this life alone, then actually there is no significant meaning. Mm. Because from the very starting point, huge difference, you know? And you cannot make balance eventually. So what is this? I was thinking like this. And while I'm thinking, I experienced a very good family relationship with my friend.
Yeah, sure.
He has extended family. They very warmly welcomed me. And even I visited his hometown, the village. The people are very poor. The children are just running naked. Mm. But they are very energetic and very welcoming. So what is this? Mm. They are energetic.
Interesting.
So I know they are Muslim, all Muslim. So maybe there's something to do with Islamic value or Islamic teaching or not. Mm-hmm. So after back to Japan, then I start reading the books on Islam. So that time there's no internet, no email.
Mm.
So I went to public library to find the Quran. Just I found the Quran, translation.
Mm-hmm.
Then I start reading. I found a very unique concept, the concept of Akhirah.
MashaAllah.
Yeah, wow. Life after death, which almost all Japanese people never think about it every day. Even 1 second they never think about.
That's amazing.
So busy, right?
Yeah.
Oh, so if I think about this concept into consideration really, then I can solve my first question, the problem. Because the place of birth actually doesn't matter.
Mm.
Where you are born in Bangladesh or Japan, it doesn't matter. What matters is how we live, how we spend our time, our resources, in which direction, is it good or bad? No? So there is a mizan, the scale, and will be judged justly. Because the judge is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no single injustice on the akhirah. So it can be balanced. So that's why it gives me really solution to the question.
Yeah?
And secondly, I also encountered a unique concept of God. I never imagined that there is a definition of God.
Mm.
Because Japanese people, they believe millions of gods.
Yes,
yeah. So, and then we have no textbook, like a Quran or Bible, because they are Shintoism, Buddhism, right? They don't have this canonical, like, scriptures.
Scriptures,
From God.
Yeah.
So that's why we do not have any resource to understand the concept or the definition of God.
Mm-hmm.
That only myth or legend, or folklore only.
Oh,
So that's why when I read this, the 112, you know, Kul Huwa Allah Ahad, you know, say He is Allah. That what people believe the great power is named Allah, and only one, So such a simple explanation. So simple. And I was thinking that time, do we need more than one God? You know, this one God can create everything. I mean, every created things. Khalas, you know. But not there is no necessity to have more than one God, logically speaking, because one God can create. But we need at least one God because we exist. As a design, right? Mm. We have a design, so there must be a one designer at least.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, at least one designer. But do we have to have more than one designer? Not necessary. So that's why I realized, okay, this simple, I mean, logic, yeah.
It's interesting you mentioned those two things because the Quran, you know, we have the Meccan Quran and the Quran of the time in Medina.
Yeah.
And the main focus when it comes to the Tawheed and the Aqidah and the Iman in the Meccan era, it focused on those two things, the oneness of God, and it focused on the issue of the Akhirah, hereafter, and the resurrection, what have you. These are the two things it focused on in detail. And those are the two things that hit you when you read that.
Oh, you remind me. That's true.
It's amazing.
That's true,
SubhanAllah. Alhamdulillah. So after you read this, and what happened after that?
Yeah, after that, so, you know, the culture anthropology has two ways to understand different culture, the outside and inside. So the people, like let's say sushi, the Japanese sushi is famous, right? So when the non-Japanese people, they want to like evaluate sushi, they are like, you know, talking about sushi from outside. Sushi is like this and like that, you know. But better eat it, right? So he can describe more, right? So that's why it's similarly, if I just observe Islam from outside, you know, like just reading Quran, and that's probably I cannot get really the inside point of view. Because Islam is a faith. It's a way of life. So if I don't take it, I mean, just if I don't eat, probably I cannot really describe that true inner nature, that beauty of Islam. That's why after 1 year, after reading Quran, I cannot have any improvements further. So, okay, let's try to believe and practice it.
Excellent. Amazing.
Yeah, so I make shahada and I start prayer.
Mashallah.
And one thing I have...
So the journey was about, from the time you went to Bangladesh, to came back reading about 1 year.
It took 1 year.
Mashallah.
Yeah. And then I found the one very important findings from internal perspective, that is the stability and tranquility of the heart.
Allahu Akbar. Amazing. Yeah.
For example, today we have a Russian and this Ukraine war, right?
Yeah.
So socially very unstable. Mm. People are saying the Third World War or nuclear war, right? And then economically, always the business is up and down, right?
Yeah.
And even health. Now we have coronavirus infection and many people died suddenly. And then many people infected and they suffer, right?
Yeah.
Healthy also, very unstable. You look at the people. People have different opinions and the complaints and they're unstable too. So if we focus, if our consciousness, if we focus so much on these things, then our heart will be unstable.
Yes, Allah.
That's why the Quran mentioned you have to focus on Allah, be conscious of God, that taqwa, always reminding. Allah. You have to focus on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because Allah is totally stable.
MashaAllah. Amazing.
Yeah, totally stable, perfect.
MashaAllah.
Right? There is no imperfection there. So that's why we can totally rely on. That's why even society, the people changing every day, every moment, but we have a prayer time 5 days, five times a day, and we can have a connection, communication with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is 100% stable and we can rely on. So that's how we can get this tranquility or stability of the heart, even with this changing society. So that is what I realize.
Amazing.
The benefits of this dunya. Not waiting akhirah, Jannah, but we can get the benefit of Islam in this time, in this dunya.
That's why Imam Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, he mentioned that there's a Jannah in this dunya.
Yeah.
He said, if you don't enter the Jannah of this dunya, you won't enter the Jannah of the hereafter. And that's what you mentioned is there. It's with the Quran, it's with this and this tranquility that you find in the heart. Ala bi dhikri Allahi tatma'innul qulub. At the hearts, and they find assurance through the remembrance of Allah. And there's a blessing that we have, and I focus on this a lot with the brothers, is that we have this, you know, the tranquility of the heart, which comes from the Quran and comes from the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's what so many people are searching for. And that's why so many people are going to, you know, Buddhism, meditation, things from this, because they're looking for that. And we have that in the Quran. We have that in the dhikr. We need to, first of all, benefit it from ourselves and then have a positive impact on ourselves as Muslims and then be able to share it with others, inshallah. So just before we wrap up, two things. First of all, when it comes to, you know, helping the da'wah in Japan, one of the things that I learned from you now is that if it comes from someone who is Japanese, mm-hmm. from that culture, it's going to have more of an impact.
Yep.
So would you say that, you know, to focus and building up the reverts who come, students of knowledge, du'at, is that one of the key things to have an impact, inshallah?
Yeah, sure. I totally agree. Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally agree. We need us, like for me, I'm local Japanese, a full-time da'i, but I'm alone. So we need a second, a third, and a fourth full-time da'i. Probably each prefecture, or you can say state or province, we need at least one. So that is really we are looking for. But however, we have to develop human resource.
So that's important, inshallah. So the brothers and sisters who are watching, inshallah, ta'ala, we'll put in below in the link, inshallah, where you can help the da'wah, inshallah, in Japan, inshallah, ta'ala. Anything else the brothers and sisters could do to help the da'wah, inshallah?
So the helping this the Quran project. Okay. So we are distributing this Japanese, easy Japanese translation of the Quran for free of charge. So we open up this Quran project. The one copy is about $20 or $25. Wow. It depends on the how much copy we order.
Okay, sure.
So if more than 1,000 copies, then 50% discount.
Excellent.
So it will be like a 12 or 13 US dollars only.
So we get people to donate for the Qurans and as well. And we need people to sponsor du'at, inshallah.
I know inshallah.
Brother Salman, and he is from Aira, from the du'at, so we're from Aira, mashallah. He did a fantastic job here with us in the World Cup, and we benefited a lot from us. And one of the things that we benefit, I want to end with this, inshallah ta'ala, is what you mentioned the other night when we were having the dinner. And when you talked about, you know, it's not just the team, you mentioned even the fans and all of that, how it comes together. Mm-hmm. So we can use that as a dawah thing. So you could remind us of what you said.
Oh, yeah. So in Qatar, like a Japan team also become famous. Mm. Not only Japan team, but the supporters.
Yeah.
They clean up the stadium.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Right? So even they lost a game, but they're still there cleaning.
Allah.
Yeah. And the Japanese player also, they clean their changing room.
Mashallah.
Yeah. So this is a kind of a synergy or the collaboration between supporters and the players. Mm-hmm. So they really support each other, teamwork.
Excellent.
The teamwork. So we can see that even the da'wah, of course, the da'i is the front side. It's like a players.
Yep.
But there is always the back office, work, groundwork,
exactly.
So management side also very, very important to support this day.
Exactly.
So this is a teamwork.
I benefited from that when you said it so much, because I've used this analogy many times in my lectures. I say about the players, they're the dais. But as you have the coach, it was very important.
Yep.
You have the management,
yes.
Also the medical staff.
Yes.
If they can't take care of the injuries of the players, and the players are not going to play at a higher level.
Yeah.
So we need just as the players need to be comfortable, our dais need to be comfortable so they can focus on what? Focus on da'wah, just as the one who's the player, he focuses on playing and getting results. But that you added the issue of the support of the team. So that's the bigger, I really like that.
Inshallah.
Our brothers and sisters who are watching at home, they can, you know, get involved and support the da'wah in many ways. Inshallah ta'ala. Jazakallah khair. Really appreciate you taking your time. And you're on the way to the airport, mashallah. God bless you. And we had a very long day at the stadium, mashallah. And going around, mashallah. So may Allah bless you and bless your efforts.
Yeah,
you've been away from your family for a long time.
Yes.
May Allah bless your family
for
having
summer
as well, for letting you be here for all this time.
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. So inshallah, we'll keep in touch and hope we're going to visit you soon
inshallah.
In Japan, inshallah. Jazakallah khair, akhi.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Jazakallah khair.
Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu
alaikum. وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِّمَّنْ دَعَا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ.